Well, I'm going to be reading a large portion of Scripture, so hang with me, and you can count it as your Bible reading for the next week, because I'm going to read a few verses, and we'll jump in now. I'm playing. Here we go. Exodus chapter 14, it says, "Then the Lord gave these instructions to Moses, ordered the Israelites to turn back and camp at Pi-Hahathoron, at between Migdol and the sea. Camp there along the shore across from Baal Zephon." So I want you to picture this. On one side, there's a sea, and the other side, you're about to find out. "Then Pharaoh will think the Israelites are confused. They are trapped in the wilderness, and once again, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will chase after you. I have planned this in order to display my glory through Pharaoh and his whole army. And after this, the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord." So the Israelites camped there as they were told. When the word reached the king of Egypt that the Israelites had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds. "What have we done letting all those slaves get away?" they asked. So Pharaoh harnessed his chariots and called up his troops. He took with him 600 of Egypt's best chariots, along with the rest of the chariots of Egypt, each with its commander. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, so he chased after the people of Israel, who had left with fists raised in defiance. Isn't it funny that when they were leaving, they had their fists up? But we're about to find out what it's like when they're trapped. The Egyptians chased after them with all their forces in Pharaoh's army, all of his horses and his chariots, his charioteers and his troops. The Egyptians caught up with the people of Israel as they were camped beside the shore near Pi-Hahathoron across from Baal Zephon. So here we find themselves. They're trapped and they've reached a dead end. The title of my message this morning, I'm going to preach from the subject of detours and dead ends. Detours and dead ends. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray for these next few moments that God, that your voice would be the loudest. Father, that you would speak to us through your word. God, whether someone here, God, has all kinds of questions about faith, or maybe they just don't believe at all, but they're here for some reason, God, I pray that you speak to them. God, for those who have been following you for a few years or following you for a while now, God, I pray you encourage them, you lift them up, you strengthen them. God, you teach us something new about who you are. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Well, we've been in this series called Exodus to Easter. And really, it's a journey, not just from a place to place, but really from person to person. In the sense of this, the children of Israel went from an old place to a new place, but really God's concern is going from an old person to a new person. And I think God many times isn't really concerned about what we're doing and is more concerned about who we're becoming. Who are we on the inside? And as we look at this transition from external circumstances, from slavery to freedom, really what we should be evaluating is the internal development of the children of Israel. You see, God has you on a journey, and each and every one of you are taking steps closer and closer to God, or maybe you're taking steps away. And when we think about our life just as circumstance or location, we miss oftentimes what God is trying to do inside of us. You see, I believe that God has you on a journey, and God is trying to grow you and take you to a new place, seeing you become a new person. And this week, we're going to be jumping into this idea of what happens when you hit a dead end. Pastor Jim covered last week roundabout ways of God, when sometimes you think the easiest way to that next destination is a straight line. Like the easiest way to blessing is for right now you just to have $1 million, right? You would just be like, God, that's the easiest path to blessing. Can you just hook me up, right? Maybe the easiest path to like anti-singleness is just show me the man outside in the lobby. I need him tall, dark, and handsome, 6'4", pop, 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 right? I need all of it working. And that's the easiest way. Like, if you just make that happen for me, that'd be really great. You know, the easiest way is just American Idol to call you and ask you to try out because you're just great, you know? I mean, those are the easiest, but God usually doesn't work that way. Sometimes he points you in a direction and then makes you turn left. And you're like, wait, God, but what I wanted was over there. I know, turn left. And you're like, wait, I don't want to. But what about when we turn left and then we hit a dead end? You know, I was down in South Austin a few days ago, and I was looking for a place I was going. And I don't know about you, but I rely on Google for everything. Like, literally, I type in Google Maps. I know where I'm going, but I just need my security blanket. Like, I need to make sure that I know exactly where I'm going and how many feet do I need to turn left. And so I was driving to this location, and it leads me to a dead end. And it's like, the store's not there. I don't know where I'm going. So I call the store, and I'm like, hey, on Google, it took me to the wrong place. And like, yeah, that happens all the time. And then they told me, all right, you want to head back out of that dead end. You want to turn right at this store. Then you'll see this sign, and you'll turn left. How many of you have ever been given directions using landmarks, right? Landmarks. Not like before MapsQuest, and you printed off 20 pages. Before you had your smartphone, like somebody would like write out directions for you. Pastor Jim is incredible at this. Like, he's amazing. He can go place one time and he just remembers it. The only challenge is when he gives landmark directions, it's a little hard to follow. So his family and the family love to go to the lake, and sometimes at the lake the smartphones don't really have very good service. And so Natalie and I were wanting to go to a store. And he was like, oh, yeah, I can give you directions easy, no problem at all. And he goes, now what you want to do is you want to drive about a mile down the road, and then you're going to turn left at the tree. Which tree? I don't know. Just find a tree and turn left. And then you're going to go down that about 1.7 miles, which 1.7 miles, like, how? I don't have, like, this internal, like, tracking distance. Like, no, it's 1.5. We got to go a few more. So I have to reset my trip odometer every time. And these are 1.7 miles, and you're going to see a mailbox. You're going to turn right at the mailbox. Now, if you go down the mailbox, you're going to see a man sitting on his porch smoking a pipe. At that moment, you're going to turn left. Now, when you turn left at the man smoking a pipe, you're going to go down, you see a squirrel. He'll be crossing the road. Turn right there. After you see the squirrel, just any squirrel, just turn right at the squirrel. Then you're going to follow Hansel and Gretel's breadcrumbs they left a long time ago, and you'll just follow the breadcrumbs all the way to the store, and you'll be there, right? At that moment, I was like, dear God, I can't. What in the world? But Pastor Jim's really good at doing this. He'll tell you this. Now, if you've got, you'll see this if you've gone too far. And so he told us, now, if you hit the dead end, you've gone too far. I wonder in life whether we've been trying to follow God, and life just kind of has its twists and its turns, and we think we're doing the right thing, or maybe we know we're doing the wrong thing, but we think it'll work out anyways, and we find ourselves in a dead end. A dead end. Maybe that marriage that you've been working on and trying your hardest, it's at a dead end today. It's hanging on by a thread. You don't think it's going to work out. You tried counseling. You tried working it out. You tried everything you can try, but for some reason, it's just at a dead end. Maybe you have a relationship with a son or daughter, and it's broken, and there's no recourse, and you've tried making phone calls. You've tried to make it work, but for one whatever reason, there's an estranged relationship there. There's some bitterness there, and you find yourself at a dead end at that relationship. You know, I think at moments in life, we find ourselves at dead ends. We begin to question God, hey, how did I get here? I thought that life was supposed to be easier with you. I thought that you were supposed to work it out. Like, what's going on? Maybe you face right now, you're looking at all the debt you're facing in your life, and you're going, the only way out is bankruptcy, and that is a dead end that I just don't want to face. I think life leads us many times to dead ends. You know, life can lead us to dead ends, but what about when it's God who leads us to a dead end? What about when God, I thought I was following you. I mean, think about the children of Israel. They had left and God told them to turn right and go south, and yet they find themselves trapped against a sea, and then on the other side, they've got an army. They are at a dead end. Come on, if you were the children of Israel, you'd be like, listen, God, like, are you directionally challenged? Because you led me straight to a dead end. Anybody identify with dead ends? Is there anybody out there who've experienced a little bit of dead ends in life sometimes? God, you told me here to go here. The children of Israel, they are about 4 million people strong, and the easiest direction was straight. And it would have taken about 11 days to cross the desert, but as we'll discover, it took them about 40 years. You see, because God wasn't concerned as much about the destination, about rather the internal development that was going on. And he knew that he had to take them on this journey, not just to take them to a new place, but to build a new people, to build a new internal person in them. And many times the journey that God has you on, he is doing something in you, not just doing something for you. We love when God does things for us, but we'd hate it when it's like God needs us to grow our character or grow the internal things of our life. It's like, that's difficult and hard. I'd just rather have blessing and forgiveness and grace. That'd be awesome. You want me to grow? Ah, I don't know about that. I think I'm fine the way I was made. No, you're not. None of us are. So here we have the Israelites and 600 of the best chariots, the whole army, and all the rest of the subpar chariots. They're chasing after Israelites. Can you imagine? Like, here they are. They had just gotten out of slavery. They had just gotten out of bondage. And now they're pinned against an ocean or pinned against the sea. And they've got an army in front of them. And because they were slaves, they weren't allowed to carry weapons. So they got no way to defend themselves. And now they're trapped. I want to speak to two different type of people this morning. The first one I would say is the unbeliever. Right? Or maybe you're really, you find yourself in a dead end that maybe you got yourself into. Maybe there were some bad decisions. Maybe there's some circumstances that you probably regret. Maybe it wasn't anything that you did, but maybe someone did something to you. And the pain of someone's problem that had hurt you many years ago, or maybe rather recently, cripples you from moving on. And so you feel like you're emotionally in a dead end. Relationally, I can't trust people. I got myself in this dead end with this addiction or this behavior or this habit, and I don't know how to get myself out of this. If you find yourself in a self-dead end because you have made bad decisions or you find yourself broken a little bit and you're in that dead end, can I tell you it's okay? It's all right because we serve a God that is powerful enough to set you free from that dead end. It's okay. And I love this in Romans chapter 5. They're going to put it on the screen. Romans chapter 5 verse 6 says this: when we were utterly helpless, there's a dead end. We're in that dead end. Guess what it says? Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Isn't it incredible to know that no matter how long you've been following Jesus, we all still started in a dead end? You know, for us believers who would call themselves Christians, we were found by Christ in the very dead end that you find yourself in this morning. And if you think that you were just great and awesome and God just gave you a gold star, that's not how Christianity works. Christianity says, I found you in the dead end and I rescued you. So if you find yourself in a dead end this morning, can I tell you, we serve a God that's really great at rescuing you and can set you free and can provide a way out. So don't disqualify what God can do in your life. But for the believer, who maybe you were trying to follow God, it's like we feel like, God, you were supposed to provide the smooth road. What happened to lead me beside still waters? These waters don't feel very still. They feel rocky. They feel turbulent. Life is hard. It's difficult. Maybe you were like, I thought we were supposed to buy that house, and now money is just it's all-time stretch. Maybe you felt like you're supposed to step out in faith and obedience to God and do something with your life and with your purpose, and now you find yourself in a dead end. You're stretched. You're like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. God, I thought we were supposed to start that business. God, I thought I was supposed to quit this job and go to this one. I thought I was supposed to leave those toxic relationships, and now I find myself alone. Can I tell you that many times God leads us to dead ends on purpose? God's not just malicious and God's not just mean-spirited, but often God leads us to dead ends, not just to reach the end of the road, but to reach the end of ourselves. You see, it's at the end of ourselves where we get to experience all of God. It's at the end of our rope. It's at the end of our own ability. It's at the end of what we can do by ourselves where really God gets to show all that he can do. You see, God doesn't want to split time with you on your life. God doesn't want you to go, hey, God, I'll cover this stuff and you cover that stuff and we'll handle my life and we'll be great. What God wants is everything, because God knows this, that it's only when you give God everything that you can experience all that God has for you. When we're trying to split time with God, when we're trying to say, God, I'll cover my relationships, you cover my finances, we'll be good. God, I'll cover my entertainment, you handle my security. God, I'll handle my earth stuff, you handle my heaven stuff, right? What God often does is leads us to a dead end so that we can find the end of ourselves. And it's in the dead ends where we find the end of ourselves is where God begins to do his best work. Where God begins to shape the person in you, where God begins to develop things in you, where God begins to develop strength, develop faith, develop perseverance, develop character, develop this understanding that no matter what I face, God will always be for me. See, church, I believe that, again, going back to the journey you're on, what is God trying to do in you? The dead end that you may face this morning or have faced, What is God trying to do in you? What is he trying to develop in you? More than just blessings and more than just grace and more than just mercy, which all those things are good and they're incredible. I believe that God wants to do the miracle in us. More than just for us, more than just the destination. You see, if God was so concerned about just getting the children of Israel to the promised land, he could have led them straight there. But why did God lead them to the dead end? Why did he do that? Dead ends reveal a lot about us. Dead ends reveal where many of us are weak. Dead ends reveal often where our character is deficient. And the first thought I have for you this morning as we jump in and look at what we can learn from the children of Israel is that often dead ends reveal our doubt. They reveal where we doubt God. They reveal where we're really not sure. In Exodus 14, verse 10 through 12, they're going to put that on the screen for us. And what it basically shows here is this Pharaoh approach. So here's the children of Israel. The people of Israel looked up and panicked, right? So they got the sea to their back and they got the chariots to their face. And it saw that the Egyptians were overtaking them and they cried out to the Lord. And look what it says in verse 11. And they said, Moses, why did you bring us here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Verse 12 says this, didn't we tell you that this would happen when we were still in Egypt? We said, leave us alone and let us be slaves to the Egyptians. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness. Is that really what they said? Or do we read earlier that they left Egypt with fists in the air in defiance? Isn't it funny when like God calls us to do something, we get on this emotional high, we're like, God, we're going to do it. I'm going to quit my job. I'm going to start the career. It's going to be amazing. I'm going to be a gazillionaire. It's going to be so great. Like Donald Trump ain't got nothing on me. Like I'm amazing. It's going to be incredible. And then like difficulty hits and it's like, I didn't want to be him anyways. I don't want money. I don't want a career. I just want to go back to McDonald's. Whatever I was doing, like it's all right. Isn't it incredible when God wants you to find the right woman and you're like, God's going to give me the right woman. It's going to be amazing. She's going to be fine. She's going to be good. It's going to be awesome. And then God, and it's this emotional moment. And then God's like, great. Okay. For you to find the right woman, I need you to become the right man. I don't need the right woman anyways. I'll take the average woman. I'll take the below average woman. I'll just take anybody really. Cause I ain't about that growth stuff. I ain't about that. Right? Like, isn't it incredible? God leads us to a dead end, and in the dead end, we go, I don't want it anyways. You see, it's in the dead ends that many times God reveals our doubts. Have you ever agreed to do something and you immediately regretted it? For me, it's anything to do with heights. Some of my friends, they like to jump off cliffs into water. I think they're stupid. So one time, forgive me, that's not very nice to say. They need help in the wisdom area. So it's always funny with heights because like when you stand on the ground, you're like, oh, that's not bad. Like I could do that. Yeah. All right, and you start walking up, and the minute you get on top, you're like, this is terrible. Are you kidding me? Isn't it funny that on one side of slavery, freedom looked amazing? Oh yeah, God set us free. But on the freedom side of slavery, right, slavery looked better. You see, it was more than just a destination. God was trying to do something in the children of Israel. As I was thinking about this subject of slavery, I thought about if you were a former slave living in the American South a week after the Emancipation Proclamation was delivered, technically and objectively, they would be free. Yeah, in my head, I'm free. But I'm sure if you asked a black man or woman a week out of slavery, whether they felt free, they would probably say no. You see, there might have not been chains on their wrists, but was there still chains in their soul? And can I tell you this, that as former slaves to sin, many times there might not be slaves on our wrists anymore, but there is still chains on our soul. And some of us still live in fear of our past life. We live in fear of our past sin. We live in fear of our past bondage and past addiction. And many times this could even be generationally. We look at our family and we go, yeah, my dad was never around, and so that means I'm probably never going to be around. Or we look and go, my mother was an alcoholic, so I guess I'm going to be an alcoholic. And we live in bondage to past slavery when God's going, no, I led you to a dead end so that there would be no doubt that I set you free. There would be no fear of the past life that you have come out of. Isn't it funny that the children of Israel, objectively in their heads, they were free? Yeah, we're free. Fist in the air, defiant. This is amazing. But the minute the dead end came, and the minute the enemy was chasing them down, hey, we'll go back. We'll go back. I don't want to die in the wilderness. You see, church, it was more about what God was trying to do in them. You see, God wants you free from the chains in you, not just on you. You see, God wants all doubt that He is the one that delivers you, and He is the one that brings you freedom, and He is the one that can break generational curses today, and He is the one that can set you free. It was not the children of Israel, but God had to lead them to the dead end of doubt to let them know that only God was the one that was going to get them out. Only God was the one that was going to get them out. And I don't know what doubt you have in your life, but can I remind you of what Moses says, right? They're going to put this on the screen. Exodus 14, verse 13. They're going to put it on the screen. Exodus 14, verse 13, we see this. It says, but Moses told the people, don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. You see, what God was trying to do in the children of Israel was this, is God knew that this was not the only opposition that they would face. And this was not the only difficulty. And God knows this, that after the dead end that you're in right now, that there's going to be other fights and other moments for you to doubt. But what God is trying to do in you in this dead end is to develop a faith in you that no matter what you face, no matter what enemy comes against you, you know this, God set me free. God's going to set me free. God's going to set me. God's going to redeem me. God's going to provide a way. I know all I see is a cul-de-sac of pain, but God's creating a road for me to escape. Can I tell you that God wants to do more in you than do more for you? The second thing is that dead ends reveal our defense. Exodus 14, verse 14, they're going to show this. It says where it says, the Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. You know, some of you, you're battling anxiety, you're battling mental health, you're battling areas of this, and you're wondering, how am I going to do this? Can I tell you the Lord's fighting for you? Some of you are fighting illness, you're fighting pain, you're fighting bitterness. Can I tell you the Lord's fighting for you? Some of you are fighting financial trouble. Can I tell you the Lord's fighting for you? Some of you are looking for a job and you need God to provide. Can I tell you the Lord's fighting for you? And the dead end of doubt reveals really who's fighting for us. Are you fighting for you? Or are you allowing God to fight for you? Are you trying to fight your way out of maybe problems that you've created? Or are you allowing God to fight for you? See, God does not share the stage. God doesn't share the stage. And I think so often when we read the Bible, we try to put ourselves in it, like in the sense that, oh, I'm Moses, and I'm going to do great things. And we read these things and we try to make ourselves the central character. But can I tell you that we are not the central character of the Bible? God is. And this story is not about, it's not ultimately God's our supporting actor and we're going to win the Oscar for best actor or actress. You see, God is the main actor, and he is the supporting actor, he is the producer, and he is the writer, and he is the director, and he does the computer graphics, he does everything. The whole story is about him. Which means this, if the whole story is about him, why would he have his people go to a dead end just so he could have them killed? What would that say about God? And can I tell you this, God's not going to lead you to a dead end and leave you defenseless. But what he is asking you to do is stop defending yourself and allow him to fight for you. You know, on the other side of parenthood, theme parks are very different. When you're a kid, when you go to a theme park, it's amazing. What ride do I want to ride? What funnel cake do I want to eat today? What corn dog do I want to have? Entrance fees? There's entrance fees? They don't just do this for free? This is amazing, right? And when you're a kid, you just go in the theme park and it's all fun. You want to play the game for the stuffed animal or whatever, and it's just great. And you just say, Daddy, can I do it? Or Mom, can I do it? Like, just pay for it. Now, on the other side of parenthood, theme parks are a very different experience, aren't they? Right? You're like, how much to get into this thing? And then I got to pay for everything else. I got to buy tickets to pay for a ride. $17 for a funnel cake? Are you kidding me? This better be the best gold-laced funnel cake I've ever had in my life. No, baby, we're not playing that game for the stuffed animal. I can go on Amazon and spend the same amount of money and get it for you, right? When you're a kid, you know everything's taken care of. When you're a dad or a mom, you know you gotta pay for everything. Can I tell you that you are not an orphan? You have a Father in heaven that is paying your way, that is fighting for you. But so many of us, we try to live like spiritual orphans, and we look in our soul wallet and we go, God, I don't have enough. I don't have enough. And God was saying, I never called you to pay for it. I never called you to fight for it. I'm gonna do it. What are you fighting that God's going, you don't have the strength. Let me do it. Let me fight for you. I love it because God just tells the children of Israel, stay calm. Oh yeah, God, easy for you to say. I'm looking at drowning or beheading. Like, it's easy. But isn't that what God asks us to do? So maybe this week, I want to encourage you. This is real practical, right? Maybe this week, whatever you're fighting, maybe a great way to do this is just in your car ride in or in the morning with your coffee. And I try to hold my hands open as a physical sign of just surrender, both hands open. And sometimes it's 60 seconds. Sometimes it's 5 minutes. I don't think it's about the time, but I think about verbalizing and going, God, I'm afraid that I'm going to fail as a father. And you've got to fight this fight for me. God, I'm afraid that I don't have enough to provide for my family. God, I'm afraid that I'm not going to beat this addiction today. God, I'm afraid that I'm going to be alone. God, I'm afraid that people are going to see me for who I really am and not like me. And you see, when you hold your hands open and you allow God and you stay calm and you say, God, ultimately it's your fight, it's not mine. Can I tell you that something will begin to happen in you? In you? It's when you surrender and you hold your hands open that God's able to go, okay, great. I know you thought this was a tag team match, but go ahead and tag your way out because you're losing and bring me in and let me fight. You see, God led the children of Israel to the dead end near the Red Sea because he knew this, that in the promised land, they were going to face 31 different kings and have to fight 31 different battles. And if he had not proven to the children of Israel in that moment that ultimately God would be able to fight for them in every battle moving forward, can I tell you, they probably would have quit. But you see, what God was doing for them was developing faith in them. Can I tell you, church, that we fight with faith, not strength. We fight with faith. So dead ends reveal our doubt. Dead ends reveal, are we trying to fight for ourselves? They reveal who's really defending us. And the third thing is this, dead ends reveal our dependence. Who are we ultimately dependent on? In Exodus chapter 14, verse 23, it says this, then the Egyptians and all of Pharaoh's horses and chariots and charioteers chased them into the middle of the sea. So if you're the children of Israel, you're standing in the middle of the Red Sea, and there's a wall of water on the left and a wall of water on the right, and then you've got all these chariots coming down, breathing down your back. It's like, who are we really depending on in this moment? And maybe you feel that way. Right now, man, like the walls are closing in. This is a dead end. It's not working out. The enemy is down my back. I'm gonna collapse at any moment. Who are you relying on now? See, the wheel of the chariot was really an advancement in warfare technology. The wheel is almost like your smartphone, right? Like it's a technological advancement. You know, back in the Mediterranean Rim in around 2000 BC, that's when the wheel was weaponized, and it was done so by the Egyptians. And it was a signal of one of the greatest weapons of the age. And they conquered nation after nation after nation by using the wheel. The wheel was their strongest asset. You know, it was something that allowed them to travel 35, 40 miles an hour, running down an enemy on foot and completely destroying them. I mean, can you imagine if you're like a foot soldier back in 2000 BC and you got like some leather sandals and you got like a leather shield and a stick and you're facing a chariot as a giant horse and a big spear and you're like, good luck. Right? I mean, you're overwhelmed. The enemy's just too strong. You give up. You're like, wave the white flag. You pretend to play dead. You know, whatever you want to do. You know, I'm out. And here this source of strength was chasing down the Israelites. And I think whenever we face things that are bigger than ourselves, we just tell ourselves, like, especially in today's culture, just will your way out of it. You're strong enough. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You're smart enough. You're strong enough. Just discipline your way out. Can I tell you this? That sometimes you can't discipline your way out because discipline requires that you depend on you. Now, I don't know about you, but willpower isn't very strong. Anybody run out of willpower by like 8 p.m.? Like 8 a.m., you're really good. You had your like steel-cut oats and your berries, and you were like, I'm doing good. I'm eating good today. Like, I'm on a healthy diet. And at lunch, you had like a salad and chicken, you know, and you were like, this is good. I got the willpower to do it. And on the way home, you see Krispy Kreme and the hot sign, and you're like, oh, whatever. You know what? I deserve it. I deserve it. I'm eating good today. No, but seriously, right? You know, like willpower is like, I'm going to have one drink. Four later, you're like, ah, whoops. You know, I'm only going to watch this an hour late. You know, like willpower has like a limit, doesn't it? Like you run out of willpower. And so when we rely on our own ability, when we rely on our own strength, you might be good for a minute, and you probably were. But can I tell you that every person who relies on their own strength will ultimately reach a dead end of self, where your strength and your ability is not enough. You're not smart enough to handle this. You're not strong enough to handle that. You're not disciplined enough to handle the wheel. Can I tell you that God says, don't rely on willpower, rely on wheel power. I know it's kind of cheesy, but come on. Wheel power. What's wheel power? Let's look at the scripture. They're going to show it here in Exodus chapter 14, verse 24 through 25. It says this, but just before dawn, the Lord looked down on the Egyptian army from the pillar of fire and cloud, and he threw their forces into total confusion. Look at 25 where it says this, and he twisted the chariot wheels, making their chariots difficult to drive. Let's get out of here, away from these Israelites, the Egyptians shouted. Let's get out of here. We can't do this. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt. Can I ask you, are in the dead end that you find yourself in, are you relying on your willpower? Are you dependent on you to get yourself out of it? I'm just going to figure it out. I'll make it. I'll do whatever it takes. It's going to be good. God, it's going to happen. And I wonder if God leads you to the dead end of life. He leads you to the dead end of self so that he can come in and say, will you just be dependent on me? Will you just surrender that thing to me? Will you just trust me? And whenever I open the Red Sea, will you just begin to walk through it? You see, God doesn't necessarily just want to do it one time just so he can take you to a new destination. God wants to develop it in you so that you know that whatever thing you face in your life, from this point on, you are dependent not on you, but on God. And you see, when we're dependent on God, can I tell you that he's the one that pays the bill? He's the one that makes a way. He's the one that provides the strength, and he's the one that can twist the wheel of the enemy. Can I tell you that addiction you're facing? Can I tell you that God can twist it? Those relationships that you don't know what to do with and it just feels like it's terrible, can I tell you, God can twist it. God can twist it. Can I tell you that the fear that you're facing that's so crippling because of past failures and you just think you're just a giant failure, can I tell you that failure that's riding down your neck, God can twist it. Can I tell you that thing that you felt like is in your lineage and you just are just going to get it because it's just genetic, can I tell you that God can twist it? God can twist that for you. Those insecurities, that shame that you face, and you feel like, if people really knew me, if people really knew what I did, they would not look at me the same way. Can I tell you that God can twist that shame that's fighting against your life? He can twist it. You see, 2,000 years ago, there was a man named Jesus, and he was on a cross. And just like the wheel of the Egyptians, the enemy tried to throw their best weapon at Jesus. And the best weapon the enemy can come up with is death. And isn't that ultimately what we're afraid of? Deep down, dreams dying, our families dying, us dying, and life ending. That's our ultimate fear oftentimes, is death. And so Jesus is on the cross, and the enemy throws the best weapon. It's not a wheel, it was death. And I'm so thankful because on the third day, when Jesus stepped out of the grave, Jesus twisted death. He twisted death. It goes back to say this, that the Egyptians had their wheels twisted so that they did not work. Can I tell you, when we stand in Christ, death doesn't work anymore. That's why I love the scripture that says, oh death, where is your sting? Where is it? Can I tell you, the enemy can throw any weapon at you. He can throw death. He can throw insecurity. He can throw fear. He can throw guilt. He can throw shame. And can I tell you, our God twists it. He twists it. He breaks the weapons of the enemy. Why? Because we are dependent on Him. We're dependent on Him. I don't know where you are this morning, but maybe you're in a dead end. And maybe God led you there and you're asking yourself, God, how did I end up here? Maybe God's trying to do something in you. Maybe there's some doubts that He's trying to reveal. Maybe you're trying to fight your own fight and God's saying, hey, let me. Or maybe it's just God just wants you utterly, completely dependent. You know, God's pretty selfish in the sense that He doesn't just ask for part of you. He asks for all of you. But I love this about God, because God doesn't just give you part of Him. God gives you all of Him. And when Jesus Christ died on the cross for us, before we believed, before, while we were still sinners, He gave you all of Him first. He didn't ask for you to go first. And this is the difference between many religions in our world, is that Christianity says this, believe and receive. Religions also often say behave and then you can hang. Act right and then you can be a part. Faith says this, surrender to Him and God will come in and He will flood your life with mercy. He will flood your life with grace. He will flood your life with faith and defense. I love this because Christ is called the cornerstone. He is our foundation that will never crack and never fail and never fade. Can we stand this morning and just begin to give God praise in our hearts? Just begin to pray, just right now, right where you're at. Just begin to pray. Just begin to search your own heart and say, God, the dead end that I find myself in, maybe the situation that I find myself in, God, is there areas of doubt in my life? Is there areas where I'm trying to fight my own battles? God, is there areas, God, where I'm not dependent on You? Come on, church, let's just begin to worship Him this morning as our team leads us. Let's just begin to worship. Let's just begin to say, God, is my hope on You? Is my trust on You? God, what are You teaching me in the dead end? Let's just begin to worship.